T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I mean, you guys are the best team in Chicago. Everybody knows that. We all know that. The afternoon show is not afraid of anything, really. Yeah. But
Afternoons on the Score.
11th play of this drive. Gainwell again. Big hole. Gainwell inside the 30. And then met at the 25 and flipped out of bounds there. But Kenneth Gainwell at his first career 100-yard game last week. With a biggie there of 17.
Watch Fred Warner. He doesn't go because he's thinking it's RPO. That's the best linebacker in the league. Look, he's standing still. That's what this offense does to these defenders. It makes 4-4, 4-5 linebackers play 4-7.
Oh, my goodness. This is so incredibly crazy right there, what just happened.
Yeah, small difference between Greg Olson, number one color analyst for Fox, and Tony Romo, the number one cheerleader on CBS. You know how Bernsey always says, you know, I don't know if he says it as much anymore at the start of the show, but like a surprise or two along the way, surprises along the way, like when he intros the show, tells you the guests and the whole thing. Sometimes I laugh about that. I'm like, are there really surprises, or just like you don't know what's going to happen in a couple of segments because those are the segments where you don't have a benchmark or a guest, or you know what I mean? Like, and we figure it out as we go, right? It's 20 hours a week. There's always some things that we don't know about a radio show.
I always thought that he meant topically there may be a surprise, or guest-wise it might be a surprise to you, the listener, because they can't promote it.
But something will pop up.
Yes.
Yeah. But I feel like often there's not really surprises. Mm-hmm. You know, it's, we're doing sports talk here. That's what we all do.
This is called a preamble, folks. Now pay it off, Danny.
Pat Mahomes' dad is going to join us at 3:40. And just to be clear, so that the audience isn't confused, Shane, you don't do an impression of Pat Mahomes Sr., do you?
No, this is the real one.
Yeah,
it's the pitcher.
So Pat Mahomes Sr.
I'm so excited.
Is going to join the show in 40 minutes.
Oh, hell yeah.
You got a cigar of your own, I see.
Yeah, I'm smoking the Joe Burrow.
You smoking on the Joe Burrow?
I'm smoking on the Joe Burrow.
I want to know how many Joe Burrows he smoked last night. His kid only smoked one of them.
I can't wait. I don't even really know what I want to ask him. I just want to hope that he's still like in that vibe.
Let's ask him about watching Michael Kopech pitch in high school. Let's do that.
Okay, yeah, we can maybe end with that.
Danny's in.
Hey, Patrick, which son is your favorite?
Let's ask him why Jackson is so problematic.
Can you judge this impression of your son? I think it's going to go well.
Was your son pretending that the injury was worse than it actually was to gain empathy and happiness?
Yeah, it's okay. So 60-40, this goes well. I have every intention of it going well. I'm not
so
sure about the rest of you hooligans.
I'm not going to ask that.
But yeah,
know it deep in my heart.
Pat Mahomes Sr. Will join us coming up in 40 minutes.
The wizard is still... wizardry.
Oh my God, that's not a sentence, Tony. It was a bloodbath. If you're watching Olsen versus Romo yesterday, that was more lopsided than Eagles Niners.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, Olsen is talking about the timing on screen passes and saying we used to call them railroad tracks. You're trying to get right here inside the numbers. That stuff was unbelievable. He's talking about, well, he's the scrape player on the zone read and then the read player over here. He's like getting so detailed and specific and comfortably so. It's so knowledgeable, but not condescending in the least. He's just digging, sharing the knowledge with you.
And like, so those broadcasters get tipped off on stuff ahead of time in their meetings, so they have some idea of what's going to come as the game goes. But I feel like Greg Olsen gets better as the game goes because he is seeing the chess match of the coaches and the game planning of like Nick Bosa rushing upfield on Jalen Hurts, but stopping his rush when he got to the depth of the quarterback because the goal was not really to get to the quarterback, but it was to seal the edge to make sure that Hurts couldn't escape the pocket. I was like, oh man, that's great stuff. And it just, and as he was seeing what the teams were trying to do to one another, he keeps getting better and better and better. And he was awesome in the divisional round too with just like the clock management stuff at the end of the game in the, well, God, what game was it? It was when the tight end. Oh, it was Dalton Schultz. It was the Cowboys game. In the Cowboys game at the end of the game, when he was laughing about the formation with Zeke Elliott,
and he was talking about how Dalton Schultz, you have to sell that you're going forward. The clock won't stop.
He spotted that he didn't drag his foot before they had even shown a replay. Yep. He was like a masterclass on that last drive of the Cowboys game.
And he does get better because he knows the rules and he is thinking of all the strategy. Listen to this. This is at the end of the first half when Nick Sirianni is lining up for a two-point conversion, and you're like, what the hell is going on here? Greg Olsen is on top of it.
You see Philadelphia, they're lining up to go for two here. Maybe try to make them jump off sides and get this ball down to the one, knowing they have those two timeouts. You're going to see Nick Sirianni. Oh, they couldn't get it communicated. So Nick Sirianni knows he has those two timeouts in his pocket. So what they do is they line the offense up, try to go a double, a hard count. If they jump, now you can go for two because the ball would be on the 1 yard line. And then you always can use your timeout. But now they have to line up for an extra point, KB, because you can't use back-to-back timeouts. So their plan of using their offense to try to cut this half the distance to the goal now. Yeah, they had 12 men on the field. You can see he's mad.
I mean, he lost his gum. He was.
Yeah, he lost his mind. He lost his gum.
How about that? Burkhart is reduced to the guy making the gum joke because Olsen knows the rules in the situation and gets it more than anybody.
Yeah, he was great.
Oh.
Yeah, he was great.
I didn't know what was going on there. A lot of the Eagles players didn't know what was going on there.
Right.
Greg Olsen knew from the booth.
Yeah, I always think that Tirico distinguishes himself from knowing all the rules
and
the situations as a game caller.
That used to be Al Michaels.
Yeah, but Olsen is doing that as an analyst. And I'm guarding against this.
Mm-hmm.
I was maybe the president of the Tony Romo fan club as an early broadcaster.
I remember.
But I
loved it too.
And in fairness, I love Tony Romo as a player. I thought that Tony Romo was one of the most underappreciated and underrated quarterbacks of my lifetime, who was like the victim of a lot of circumstance. But so I went in liking him. Then I thought his calling out the plays and the enthusiasm that he had for the job and how much of a step forward it was for Nance from Phil Simms that had gotten so stale. It seems like it made Nance better. I thought everything was great about it. And I think my theory is that he read his own press clippings. He got so much praise so early, and he reset the market. He got more money than any analyst had ever gotten, other than like John Madden. But you have to factor in the video games for John Madden. Like he reset the marketplace. Like Collinsworth got a huge raise because of it. Aikman got a huge raise because of it. Buck got a huge raise. Nance got a huge raise. And it was the Tony Romo contract. It was like a seismic thing in sports broadcasting. That now I've heard Nance reference that he takes the production calls in the middle of the week from the golf course. You know, he got a fully guaranteed $180 million contract. He was the golden boy of broadcasting.
And the enthusiasm is a big part of it, and he knows he can bring that.
And the enthusiasm is still there, but he just...
Oh, my goodness, this is so incredibly crazy right there, what just happened.
Yeah, you don't have to prep to have enthusiasm, but you have to prep to know everything else.
And I think that
prep is lacking?
I think prep is lacking, and so he's getting by on
charm.
Charisma, charm, and enthusiasm, because he also started to get pushback from the predicting the play stuff, people were saying it was a little bit of a parlor trick and it was taking away some of the suspense of the games. And so he's now not doing that as much. He's talking about tendencies and what he would think would happen. But so he doesn't seem to be smarter than everyone, which is what it seemed like at the beginning.
Yeah, that he was that. Yeah.
You know, that he could see the future.
Whew, it's a tough character and humanity read, but it could very well be the right one.
I think that's what's happened, and he also just guesses. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Tony, just take a breath, take a pause. You're on television.
Yeah.
And then give me your take.
Right. And you don't get a lot of that. Let me ask you a question about this clip from 2 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and the Chiefs have a fourth down, and the decision is to punt. They end up punting.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Very questionable decision.
Okay, very questionable decision, because you could have gone for it. Or you could have tried what would have been, I think, a 57, 58-yard field goal.
Yeah, I think, maybe 55, but whatever it was. More than 55-plus, and Jay Feely came on and said that was out of Butker's range.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, okay.
Because I didn't hear Feely say that.
Okay.
I didn't hear, okay. So this is Romo and Nance discussing that moment right there.
Yeah, he's going to go ahead and go to fourth down. It looks like they're going to move it up.
Why that holding penalty? Whoever plays fourth down.
Here's why I like that decision, okay? It's A, very difficult to even to make this field goal. We talked about the 35, it's outside of it. On top of it, Jim, it's fourth down. Your offense definitely has the season on its shoulders to go down. Whereas if you give them the ball back, Mahomes would have two opportunities. Even if he doesn't get the first down, he could technically get closer and go for it. But you got the ball out of his hands, and you're giving it back to your best part of your team.
They're going to bring out Townsend to punt. He's already had that one punt in the first half that was downed at the 5, even though Cincinnati was able to take it down to get a field goal before the intermission. Just keep an eye on McKinnon there, the up back, 4th and 8.
There's no way they're not in safe defense right there.
And there's Townsend angling.
Another good one.
Let's see how good it is. 7-yard line with 2.5 to go. Now it's Joe's turn.
Well, he's got 9 career game-winning drives. We know about what he's done. Cool Joe. Game day Joe.
Nope.
Yeah, he's just making up nicknames for him.
And there was no conversation at all about the possibility of a field goal.
Yeah, so I think CBS employs a kicking analyst.
Yeah, it's got Jay Feely.
Which is Jay Feely.
Did Feely come on after that?
I think it was before it, okay. and he had said that his long pregame going in this direction was 52 yards. He said that pregame, but I was thinking the whole time, I was like, why does Jay Feely have a job? Like, You,
this is when you want to hear from him about
it. Well, right, but I don't. I feel like that is information that a producer could gather pregame and give to Tony Romo, and they have the graphic on the field of the field goal target line. So he's like, they need to get here for the field goal. They didn't get there.
Uh-huh.
Let's go down to Jay Feely to explain. And he's like, well, the field goal target line is here.
Thanks, Jay.
And they haven't gotten here. And so, back to you, Jim. I'm like, well, I get it. Unless we're talking like mechanics of a kick, but it seemed so unnecessary to employ him. But largely, yeah. I just think I thought that the the fourth down bot. Do you follow the fourth down bot on Twitter where they grade punts based on like percentile index of surrender?
Index.
It was a 99.9% surrender punt.
Wow.
Was punt as cowardly of a punt as you could possibly make, given where you were on the field, and that's obviously in the context of trying to win in regulation, right? Because you are giving the ball back with such little time left that deep in opponent's territory. It struck me as a situation where I would have assumed that they would go for it because you have Pat Mahomes and you can't make the field goal, and I would think you would be terrified of giving the ball back to Joe Burrow.
Sure.
But it had been a game where the defense had played pretty well that it obviously worked out, But I was shocked that they didn't go for it the moment.
Doesn't it tell you how difficult it is? I know we like to speak from a place of omnipotence, or at least surely you do, in terms of managing a clock, managing a football game, all those kind of things.
Yeah, I was shocked Reed didn't go for it.
Andy Reed has been a head coach for 24 seasons, 14 with the Eagles, now 10 with the Chiefs.
Yeah.
He's had two losing seasons. He will go down as one of the great head coaches of all time.
Second best to Belichick of his era, I would say, and one of the best offensive coaches in the history of the sport.
And his game management has been questioned every step of his Eagles career,
yeah,
every step of his Chiefs career, and yesterday with that choice to punt, yesterday challenging a call when his own wide receiver, Kadarius Toney, could not have made it more obvious that he didn't catch the ball.
He's not great at it. He's not great at the end game.
Look at your guy.
I know.
Devontae Smith is running the line saying, let's get it off, because he knows Kadarius Toney is like disappointedly walking back to the bench because he knows he didn't make that catch. Well, how can you challenge that?
Well, so Andy Reid is actually where I kind of adjusted my stance on this stuff and kind of learned the lesson. I used to think, and it still drives me crazy, and we've talked about it plenty, but I used to think that, like, this is the stuff that you can control. How are you bad at this? Third down, fourth down, go for it, kick, punt, field goal, go for two, like all that stuff. And it still drives me insane, but it's not the biggest thing that these coaches do. The game plan is. Mm. The play calling is. Getting the guys ready for the game, the Monday through Saturday aspect of coaching is the biggest part of it. And he's
great at that.
He's the best offensive coach I've ever seen. I mean, I've said it before, but like Jeff Garcia, Kevin Cobb, Mike Vick, Alex Smith, Donovan McNabb, all of these dudes had the best seasons of their lives with Andy Reid as their coach. And he won double-digit games with, I think, four of the five of those guys. And then you finally gave him an elite talent at the position, and he's got a couple 5,000-yard seasons, a couple of MVPs, five straight trips to the AFC title game, three Super Bowl appearances, and a ring on his finger. You know, so it's like you finally gave the great driver the fastest car.
Here's what you get.
And here's what you get. But you still do get the blemishes of some of the in-game stuff because nobody's perfect, and it's amazing that he hasn't gotten better at it. But it isn't the biggest part of coaching.
No, it's interesting. Back on Olsen for a second, on Greg Olsen. I mean, I think Tom Brady's going to the Raiders. I brought that up to you a while back,
yeah.
And we'll see how that thing goes. But if Brady were to retire and go to Fox right now, Fox is going to replace Greg Olsen with an unknown commodity as a broadcaster like Tom Brady. Really? Like,
he's the most famous football player in the world, and this whole thing is about Q rating.
We just saw the Drew Brees experience where NBC hired him, realized eventually that he couldn't do it, and he's gone, and he's doing Points Bet, you know? Olsen is so good, and maybe if Brady plays one more year, and Olsen has one more year with Burkhart and establishes some continued excellence, maybe then they wouldn't do it.
No way, man. They gave him $350 million.
Is that how much they gave him?
Yeah, but part of it was that they...
It's a personal services contract.
Yeah, it was that he was going to show up with the Murdochs and glad handle big sponsors and you know what I mean? Do big deals for Fox Corp.
I think Danny just invented a word, guys. Did you hear that, what? Shane? That was really good. I think Danny just invented the word glad handle, which is amazing.
What's the word?
Glad hand. You shake hands.
You're glad handing. Yeah.
Oh.
You said glad handle, huh?
Yeah. I like it. I knew exactly what he meant, and I knew that he knew exactly what he thought he meant.
Yeah.
Tanny and I were over here talking about how boring Joe Davis is.
We were talking shop. Yeah, why isn't Joe Davis teamed up with Greg Olsen? If Joe Davis is your supposed number one, what's going on there?
Well, they're saying that Burkhart's their number one for football, and Joe Davis is their number one for baseball because neither of them are as good as Joe Buck.
Right.
Which is why Jason Benetti is going to surpass both of them now that he's at Fox. Mm.
Well, as long as Benetti is comfortable doing some of the glad handling that you have to do.
I'm working on my glad handle, huh?
I'm working on my glad handles too, personally.
Yeah, handles are fine. Just
I think
the way
you look
they
great.
Are.
You look great, man. Don't worry.
It's glad hand.
Glad hand. Hey, I'm gonna smile as I shake your hand.
Yeah.
But he also needs to handle the Murdochs and handle the sponsors.
I thought that's what it was. I really thought the phrase was glad
that
handle.
That is amazing. I'm so glad I'm back. I'm so happy to be back.
Yeah, I'm glad you're back too, buddy. You missed a week.
That's all.
Yeah, no, I had a couple other days. It was like 8 days.
Was it 8 out of 10? Is that what
it
was?
I think it was 8 out of 10 days.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a bit above average. Well, so Pat Mahomes Sr. is really coming on in 20 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's legit gonna come on the show.
All right, we're gonna have to glad handle
him. I don't know why, but
nice. He's probably celebrating. Can't wait. This is gonna be fantastic. You want to get to your group hang FOMO questions?
I really
before
do.
Before Pat Mahomes Senior,
I really do. Right. I missed out. You guys all hung out yesterday. I'm older with responsibilities, and I did not get a chance to. I fear that I've missed out on spectacular things. I have some questions for you guys.
We'll answer your questions before Pat Mahomes' dad joins us next on the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I love this. This is my type of party. I love this.
Afternoons on the Score.
What's better than this? Guys being dudes.
It was a great hang yesterday at Shane Reardon's house on Championship Sunday.
It's a good day to hang with two big football games.
Yeah, and we will answer all of your questions about said hang before we talk to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Pat Mahomes' father, the former big leaguer. This is not a new impression from Shane. This is not Shane's father. This is the guy who was smoking that Joe Burrow on the field after the game last night. He will be calling into the show in 15 minutes.
Former Cub, briefly. Pat Mahomes in 2002, most notably a Minnesota Twin before that, 92 to 96. Looking forward to that.
All right, so what are your questions?
All right, so set the scene first. Shane, who was there at the house?
It was Danny, Tanny, myself, Cody Westerlin, Cody's friend Jason, Alyssa Bergamini, and her boyfriend Matt.
Okay. Everybody, you weren't down there, I was.
I was not down there. Guys, to Tanny and to Danny, genuine impressions on Shane as a host, seating options, service, drink offerings, etc.
10 out of 10.
Wow.
Well, actually,
here we go. Yeah.
I had one complaint.
Yeah,
there has to be.
Here we go, Jim.
Here we go, Tony.
We talked about it. I forgot, and I still would have come for sure, but live betting.
Okay, I wanted to bring that up.
live betting, the guy cut the cord.
He's got no Wi-Fi.
Hulu Live. Yeah, I have Wi-Fi.
He has Wi-Fi.
We listen on Westwood One.
We gathered around the radio and listened to the game. Kevin Harlan had a great call.
Cody Westerlin and his friend just acted out what the game was probably doing.
It was on Hulu TV, so it's pretty delayed.
Oh, I see.
So like Twitter was ahead of the action.
Oh.
The odds were. I was like, wait a minute, this spread doesn't make any sense. And then there's like a Brock Purdy sack fumble.
You would have hated game two.
You mean the Brock Purdy sack fumble would change the entire game?
Yeah, but I was like looking at the odds to try to place a live bet, and it didn't make any sense.
We were 15 seconds behind. Yeah. The disdain that Danny sat there with for hours. Like he went to go live bet it, and he just kind of stopped, looked up, cool.
This isn't on cable. This isn't live.
I said, no, man, it's Hulu TV. It's probably like 15 seconds
behind.
Oh,
my God.
And he just sat there with a puss on his face the whole time after.
The whole time is ridiculous. I was stuffing my face the whole time. The food was so good.
Don't worry, Danny. For 3 hours after the fact, we kept talking about how they were on delay watching the game.
Yeah, we did.
We made fun of you a bit after that. Any given opportunity, we said, wait, this isn't live.
Okay.
All right.
Shane is a host. Tanny, everything okay?
Yeah, it's great. He always provides wonderful food, all sorts of booze. Didn't realize I was a gin guy, had some gin yesterday.
Oh,
so
nice.
Yeah, Shane will do everything and anything he can do to make people feel comfortable.
Except
put that damn dog away.
Yeah. hold on. I'll get to the dog. Best food item. What was the best food item yesterday?
Oh, dude.
What did I miss?
If you're talking time and money, it was probably the queso dip that I think Cody brought from Jewel.
Tostitos, yeah.
No, I'll take that back. I forgot about the star of the show, the shrimp.
The shrimp were amazing.
See, I heard that he was getting a pound of shrimp, which is a great show joke.
It was more than that.
You had a couple pounds of shrimp.
Yeah,
and
for seven people.
The way he 2 pounds for seven people.
And what'd you do with the shrimp?
I'm going to talk about the shrimp in the last break of the 5 o'clock hour when I do my Second City Prime read. So stick around for that.
Okay,
it's a Second City Prime.
It's a great tease.
These things are massive.
They were huge.
It's like a lobster tail.
They,
it's insane.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
And the brisket that Tanny smoked for 15 hours.
Yeah.
And he got the Joe's barbecue sauce from Kansas City, which was amazing.
Oh, wow.
Nice, that was a very nice touch. And then
beef tartare.
Prepared a beef tartare, which I was like a little scared of.
Sure, it's raw meat.
Raw red meat.
Yeah, you could take that home and cook it up. That's one option.
It was amazing.
Two Second City Prime Australian A5 Wagyu fillets.
Wow.
Just so chopped up
with
some eggs.
I just brought a 30 rack of High Life because I know that's what Shane's like cheap beer of choice. So that was my contribution to the party.
That is so on brand. That's phenomenal.
I thought it was appreciated.
It was. Yeah. I go through a lot of High Life.
I just meant level of effort. That's all I'm saying. It's on brand in terms of effort.
He didn't want me to provide any food. It was great.
All right. So how about Willie? Willie the dog. How was Willie's behavior yesterday?
The dog. Ask Tanny.
No, I was cool. I was fine with Willie. I don't like dogs per se. I used to own dogs. Don't love them now. Now that I have a kid, it's just an animal living in my house. I'm not anti-dog. It's just not for me. I won't like criticize someone for having a dog. I certainly wouldn't go to someone's house and say, "What's up with your dog being here?" Like, no, dude, that's your dog. Like, your dog can, you know, it's more so the dog's house than it is the Shane's, I would say, at this point.
But yeah. Here's the wrinkle. Tanny was sitting in my spot on the couch, right? Uh-huh. Because I'm up and about. Tanny just sat down there at my spot. So Willie was coming to him the most often.
He said, I asked you before I sat down. I said, hey, where's your spot? Yeah. And I chose a different seat. I don't want to sit in the host's spot.
Willie was on a different level yesterday. So Willie is already a herder and incredibly protective of me.
Uh-huh.
And my back was turned the majority of the time because I'm in the kitchen chopping up whatever. So Willie
and this Jamoke over here has the audacity, excuse me, the odyssey to sit in your spot.
That wasn't the problem, but she's a herder. So so people are in the circle of the chairs and the couch, and if anyone gets up to leave the circle, she like nips at your fingers to try to bring you back to the circle.
Oh my God.
She barked at me violently for taking my own jacket because I left at the end a little bit in the NFC Championship game to get home in time for kickoff of the Chiefs game because I wanted to watch it with Steph and we were doing the podcast.
But do you know why she barked at you so violently? Because the jacket was on the back of the chair that I was sitting at.
Oh.
So she sees you reaching toward me.
I caught a nip, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, she nipped the fingers.
So, wow.
Several were nipped yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah, she's a nipper of the fingers.
That's serious. See, that would play into hosting for me. Like, if your dog is nipping at me as I'm trying to enjoy myself and watch the game.
I mean, it's not when you're trying to enjoy yourself watching the game. It's if you were ever to get up.
Oh, how dare I.
And maybe go to the bathroom.
My bad. If I tried to use the bathroom or
also,
something.
If Shane's back is turned to the party, don't get up because then Willie will try to protect Shane and nip at you.
I feel like those rules should be written up in like a handout, like a one-sheeter. Here, so you're coming to my house. Here's
Willie
how to
needs
behave.
To see you four or five times to like really get comfortable. Like all my closest friends, she's totally cool with. But when new people come into the house, she's like, yo, what the hell is this, bro? I can acknowledge that she's a little bit of a problem sometimes.
Okay. Any very funny moments that might come up on the show that I will not be a part of because I missed out?
Oh, my God. You guys made fun of me for the live TV. I assume you made
not even made fun of you, just kept bringing it up.
Referenced it over and over again.
I can't believe it's not delayed.
Live betting is a big thing.
Alyssa Pergamini's boyfriend was very threatened by the fact that she has a crush on Jeremy Allen White. We talked about that for a little while.
Then
he now has a crush on Tracy Wolfson because Alyssa has one on Jeremy Allen White.
Oh,
so that was a good back and forth.
Ooh, a petty crush.
Yeah.
A petty, maybe made up crush.
Yeah.
That's drama.
That was
right
fun.
There.
Yeah.
I got some hot Louvre takes off when Alyssa, we were talking about her trip to Paris.
No, this is the week after Super Bowl show content right here. Don't waste it here because we got a break soon.
Louvre takes.
Danny had one of the most prestigious art museums in the world. And guess what? It's not what you think.
That's a tease.
The Louvre is overaided.
We'll table it for a week after the Super Bowl.
We got a lot of time between now and the Super Bowl.
Danny's where I go for art thoughts, historically.
Absolutely.
I've been multiple times.
Yeah.
Got takes.
Anybody get problematically buzzed that they'd like to admit to right now?
I was a little tipsy.
Problematic buzz was there.
He
made an appearance.
Yeah, should have seen his tweets.
No, we're all responsible adults.
Yeah. Got a nice buzz, not a problematic
buzz. So that
means
Bernsey didn't come. Okay, just checking on that.
Well, they were driving. I was in my own home.
Oh, yeah,
so
you're there.
I could have one more drink than everyone else, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I was there for
All right, did my questions cover it all? I think we got to a lot.
Yeah, it was a good, fun day.
I missed out. Thank you for the invite.
I was thrilled to be able to go. I'm lame and with two young kids and live in the burbs and all of that. So it was fun to do the social hang and get out. And Steph was like, stay for the second game. And I was like, I
I don't know if you mean that.
I knew about, of course.
Yeah.
I knew about the pound of shrimp, and I was laughing. I texted Shane yesterday during it. I'm like, so is that 0.75 shrimp per person? But no, it ended up being enormous and 2 pounds.
I honestly could have had 10 more,
yeah.
And I had two. I ate so much food, I thought I was being, like, over the top with it. But there was so much food for so few people there that I felt like I was honestly, like, doing my part.
Good thing you had one of those shrimp before Shane's roommate's dog licked one of them on the table.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had to throw that one away.
A little peckish at the end of the game.
Yeah, I'd rather Willie nip at your fingers when you walk to go to the bathroom than take the food.
Hey, I think it's just great that Danny, after he signed the $1 million contract, is still cool enough to come over and do some glad handling of the group at Shane's house.
Wait, did you get a $1 million deal?
It was big of him.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. I'll invite you next time.
I was going to say, did I do anything to not get the invite back?
No. You can come back, and then I'll think on it with Speaker.
Okay.
All right, perfect.
Appreciate that.
Pat Mahomes Sr., what was the party like last night? How much did the trash talk factor in? What does he think of Shane's impression of his son? We got a lot going on here. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show. Afternoons on the Score.
The 0-1 to Mahomes. Line drive left center field. Closing fast is Rodriguez. Diving. Can't get it. Base hit. Cedeno will score. The throw goes to third. And Agbayani is tagged out. But the run counts. It's an RBI single for Pat Mahomes. The Mets have taken a 5-4 lead. And the inning is over. Mahomes comes through. And the Mets take the lead. Sanders leads off second. Mahomes 2-2 to Reed. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. The ball game is over. And Pat Mahomes earns his second victory of the series. He strikes out Jeff Reed to end it. And the Mets take 2 out of 3 from the Cubs in remarkable fashion here at Wrigley Field.
You got a cigar of your own, I see.
Yeah, I'm smoking the Joe Burrow.
You smoking on the Joe Burrow.
I'm smoking on the Joe Burrow.
Those are a couple of highlights of the 11-year big league career of our next guest, Pat Mahomes Sr., fresh off smoking that Joe Burrow last night on the field at Arrowhead Stadium. Pat Mahomes Sr. with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Pat, thank you so much for the time. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you all for having me.
Absolutely. So, earthy tones, smooth. How does the Joe Burrow smoke?
It was smooth. You know, I got a little bit ahead of myself. You know, I shouldn't have probably said what I said, but you know, I don't have a couple of them champagnes and things up in the family room. So, you know, back when we played back in our day, you know, when other teams talk, you talk back, and I just kind of went back to that day, and then I probably said a little more than I should have said.
Disagree. You should have said more. And you didn't get ahead of yourself. They got ahead of themselves because they talked trash ahead of time, and then you guys talked trash after the game once you could point to the scoreboard and say, hey, we won. So you did it at the right time, sir.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was a lot of trash being talking, and I know the way I raised Patrick, that he's not going to say anything. So, you know, it was kind of a situation where, you know, I knew he wasn't going to say anything because of how, you know, we had developed him and everything and how he was raised. But I just had to say a little bit because that old competitor in me came out, and I just wanted to let the world know that you don't talk like that and come to our house and think you can take it over.
I love it. Love it. Pat Mahomes, how many Joe Burrows did you smoke last night? Because one of them only lasts, what, a good, you know, 35, 45 minutes. Yet your son only had a chance to smoke one Joe Burrow on the field. So how many did you have?
Well, I had 1.5. You know, I had that one that I smoked there on the field, and then I had a half of one at the after party, and then I had to go home.
Got you. So what was the spread? You know, you said champagne. You're drinking champagne during the football game?
Oh, yeah. Drinking champagne, a little bit of Patron, a few Coors Light. You know, we take Patron shots every time we score a touchdown or score points. So had a few of those and a couple Coors Light, but, you know, it is what it is.
Oh, my goodness, Pat.
That's a way to watch a game.
That sounds like a phenomenal way to watch the game. I mean, like, we all know people who are fans of a team, like, oh, and my team scores, I jump up and down. Or when your son scores a touchdown, you do a shot of Patron?
Yes, sir. We have a shot of Patron up in the suite. Me and all his buddies that he went to college with and played high school ball with, we all have a little shot, you know, toast. And then we go back to our seats and wait for the next one.
Yeah, it's and you know,
and it's gonna come.
It's gonna come sooner than later because your son's very good.
At some of those days can't be longer. You know, they've been known to score 50 or so points in the game.
Yeah. You catch a problematic buzz.
I was just going to ask that divisional game against Houston when he had 5 touchdowns. That must have been a dangerous walk home. That's a lot of Patron.
Well, it wasn't a dangerous walk. You know, fortunately, his wife, Brittany, when she sees me have a few minutes, she gets somebody to drive me home. So I didn't have to walk. But, yeah, we did have to order another bottle that day.
Yeah, I believe it. Pat Mahomes Sr. is our guest. What was the, I'm curious what your reaction was when the mayor of Cincinnati says that there's been a paternity test ordered on your son to prove that Joe Burrow's the father, when you are his very famous and distinguished and proud father?
Well, it wasn't much of a reaction. I call Patrick, and you know, we have our private messages that we say to each other, you know, ever since he was in sixth grade. You know, we have our ongoing thread. I can show you from sixth grade to, you know, 5 years in the NFL, you know, all those messages and stuff. But I just basically told him, I said, they're doing a lot of talking. You make sure that after you win this game, that you have a cigar. But, you know, I knew he wasn't going to do that, so I had to have one for him.
You know, Pat, some of us around here, just a couple of us, are old enough to remember you as a pitcher with Minnesota, the Red Sox. You were here as a Cub for a little bit of time in 2002. How do you think Patrick, growing up as a son of a professional athlete, made him, helped shape him as a quarterback?
Well, being in the clubhouse, I think that was the most important thing about it. Also, you know, playing multiple sports, he was able to adapt and bring all that into his football game. Now, I'll be the last one to tell you that I thought he was going to be an NFL quarterback. I knew he was going to be a professional athlete, but I thought it was going to be either baseball or basketball. And him being around those guys, you know, A-Rod, Derek Jeter, Mo Vaughn, Roger Clemens, being around all these guys and seeing how hard they were working when they were probably the best at their position at that time, but still getting in there working every day, learning how to be a professional. I think that's the thing that inspired him the most. And he put all of that into a bucket, and he came out to be this football player that can do a lot of different things because of his basketball and baseball background.
So when did you know he was going to be a football player? Like when he's at Texas Tech, were you still thinking that maybe he'd be a baseball player instead? Damn good pitcher.
His senior year, when we was waiting for the draft, we sat at the house waiting for the draft, and then they called early. You know, everybody knows he got drafted in the 37th round by the Detroit Tigers, but they called early the first day, in between the first and second round, and offered him 7 figures to go play baseball, to be a position player in the outfield, and he turned it down and got in his truck and started driving to Lubbock. That's when I kind of knew he was going to be a football player.
Yeah, that would give it away. Pat Mahomes Sr. is our guest. You know, he torments a lot of us in this town, sir, because the Bears could have drafted him, and they didn't, and they traded up and they drafted another guy. And then when he played here in Chicago and he scored and he counted to 10 on his fingers, remembering that, you know, he was the 10th pick in the draft and he was playing against a team that could have taken him. Was there ever a moment in the lead up to that where you thought that there was a chance your son was going to be playing for the Bears?
Well, I don't know if there was ever a moment I thought it. I know he wholeheartedly thought it because they told him that they were going to draft him. You know, they told him that they were going to draft him. So we thought he was going to be the 3rd pick overall, go to Chicago. He had a great meeting when he went there and liked all the guys that were doing the stuff there, and he thought he was going to be a Bear. And then once they traded up and got Mitch, you know, it kind of hurt him. I mean, it really did. But he always knew that Kansas City had told him that, you know, they were going to come up and get him. They just didn't know how far they had to go. But initially, he thought he was going to be a Chicago Bear.
Oh, my God.
Can someone pass me some Patron?
Oh, my God.
The greatest quarterback I've ever seen could have been a Bear. Who told him? Who told him? Do you know?
I don't know. You know how they go in and they do their meetings and stuff, and they meet with the head coach and the general manager and all that. And in those meetings, they were impressed by how he did on the whiteboard, you know, calling the plays and knowing all that. And Patrick has a, what they call an eidetic memory, where he can see something one time and he'll always remember it. So they were impressed by that. And they told him they were going to get it. But in the end, it ended up being they passed. They won with Mitch. And he was fortunate enough to land with Kansas City with Andy Reid and all those great play callers over there with the hell of a team, and a team that had won 11 or 12 games the year before, and he was able to go there and learn from Alex Smith, who did a hell of a job teaching him. And it just all worked out from there.
Hey, so Pat, on that in that primetime game at Soldier Field, when Patrick is counting up all the teams that did not draft him, I mean, is he thinking about the Bears? Have you guys talked about this since, about how he could have been a Bear and how they blew it?
Oh, yeah, he was definitely talking about the Bears, and that's about as much as you're going to get from him. I was surprised to see him do that, but he's not a talker. He doesn't boast and brag and all that, as you've seen him in his interviews and everything. He always gives credit to all the right guys and his teammates and stuff like that. So that's about as boisterous as he's going to be, you know, counting the fingers. But, yeah, it was definitely letting him know that you could have had me, and now you got what you got.
And yeah, we got what we got. But it hurt him. He wanted to be a Bear.
Yeah, he definitely wanted to be there. He liked everything about it. And, you know, he was looking forward to going there. You know what I mean? Who doesn't want to be the first quarterback taken in the draft? You know, so it's definitely, you know, a situation where he thought that he was going to be there and hopefully be there for a long time. But, you know, like I said, you know, God has a plan. And he aligned it with, you know, Andy Reid and Brett Beach, who I love to death. And those guys, and they got to work, and now, you know, we are where we are.
Apparently, it worked out for them.
Yeah, apparently.
And it's not us.
God has a plan for Bears fans, too, you know? And it's not a good plan. That's what we're feeling right now. That's rough stuff there, Pat Mahomes. You're damaging the hearts and souls of Bears fans.
I'll be fine. We need to.
Y'all got a good one now, though.
We do.
He's going to do some things, man. I mean, y'all get a little bit of, you know, help around. He's going to do some things. I like everything that he does, and I think he's going to be a hell of a quarterback once, you know, everything gets right.
Yeah, no, I do too. We do too. And we love Justin Fields, but your guys, you know, thrown for 5,000 yards twice, is about to win his second MVP. He's been to 3 Super Bowls and 5 straight AFC Championship games, and he's like 27 years old. So, you know, he's like the greatest quarterback in the history of football already. So, you know, I'm sure Justin's going to be great, but your son set a little bit of a high standard, sir, and, you know, I've never seen a good quarterback on the Bears in my life.
Did you know Ryan Poles at all? That's our guy. The Kansas City front office man is now ours. We're trusting him to build around Justin Fields, Pat.
Yes, I actually know him, and I think he's a good guy. I think he's going to do some good things. I remember him being over in Kansas City and everything. And anybody in that organization, I mean, it's a first-class organization from, you know, from the top to the bottom. And they really let you know, you know, where they stand when they're talking to you, and they're straight shooters. So I think he's going to be fine. You know, just give him a little time.
All right, so we'll end this in a fun way. Your son has a very distinctive style of play and voice, and because we've lamented the fact that Pat Mahomes isn't on the Bears since 2017, we've actually developed like a little bit of a character on the show of Pat Mahomes always being here. Would you mind judging an impression of Pat Mahomes for us?
Oh, no doubt. Let's do it.
All right, well, Patrick Mahomes is here talking to his father, Pat Mahomes Sr.
Yeah, Dad, it's so nice that you're here with us today, and I just want to thank you for teaching me everything that I know, but the one thing that you didn't teach me, or you shouldn't have taught me, is to put ketchup on my well-done steak. Can you tell these guys why I grew up eating steak like that? Was it your fault? Was it Mom's fault? Was it Jackson's fault? I don't know who it was, but I had to thank you for it.
Well, you just came out eating it. I mean, you see ketchup on 2 pieces of bread. So, you know, that's just the way you've always done it. So we never stopped it.
Dad, thanks so much for coming on today. Love you so much.
How's that? That was awesome, whoever that was.
That's our producer, yeah, Shane.
It's awesome,
it's the
right?
guy you've been talking to, Pat.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Have you ever heard a better impression of your son?
No, that was awesome. I actually thought I was talking to Patrick.
Well, do you have any questions then for your son that we can work out here on the radio?
No, I'm gonna leave y'all with that, you know. But like I said, man, it's been great. It's been a hell of a 48 hours, whatever it's been now, and just looking forward to going to Arizona here in a couple of weeks and hopefully coming out with a victory.
Hey, Pat, this was a pleasure. Thank you so much for doing it. We enjoy getting to know you a little bit, and happy for you and the family. Seems like you're all enjoying it, and you deserve it.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely having a blast, and it's been fun. And actually, I got a half of Joe Burrow to smoke, so I'm going to go back and smoke that.
Of course. We'll go smoke it. Hey, can we, when they win in 2 weeks, can we call you to talk about smoking that Jalen Hurts?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pat.
That's Pat Mahomes Sr.
God. There's so I'm much gonna there.
Be, I'm, yeah,
I'm I like, don't even want to be around anymore.
Yeah,
dude, exactly.
I'm so happy because the radio was so good, and I'm just honestly sick to my stomach.
That is stunning. Call all the papers. Call everybody. Y'all call your sons. Call your daughters. Call everybody.
Bears told Pat Mahomes they were going to draft him.
He's sitting there watching the draft, thinking the Bears are going to take him at 3.
Yeah.
And instead, they trade up and took Mitch because Ryan Pace thought he was smart and secretive, and he thought he was reinventing the quarterback position.
Yeah, so that was so Kalen Kaler had that in a story, but yeah, I need a beverage. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.